Let's pray. Father, we come before you humbly. I pray that you would be here today. Pray that your presence, your spirit would be felt. I pray that you would use me to minister to these people. Lord, I pray that your spirit would fall. Fall on us, guide us, give us wisdom and use us, Father. Thank you, Lord. And all God's children said? I work with kids, so I expect some response. And all God's children said? Amen. Okay. So in working with kids and doing, I don't often get to speak to the kids. I have a team of people that do it, that speak for us, for me. And Easter was just amazing. I was running around just doing the crazy things that I do on Sunday. And, you know, there's tech stuff going wrong and we couldn't get the iPad to work. And so I'm just running around seeing how high school's doing, seeing how junior high's doing. And I walk up to the elementary area and they're singing, "Oh, Happy Day." Oh, how does it go? Happy. Yeah, and it's got, I can't sing it unless I do the motions. So, but there's a part in there that says, "The greatest day in history." And it just made me, I had to get up there and tell the kids, "Do you understand? It is the greatest day. It really is the greatest day in history. God's son dying on the cross for something real." It's just, but I love that. I love being able to convey God's love to his kids and to his family. So, just to let you know, as I was preparing for this lesson, Sammy calls and says, "Hey, we'd love for you to come out." And so I'm thinking about it, and I'm giving him days. And once we got everything kind of solidified, it was one of those things where I was praying, "Lord, what do I speak on?" It was great to be able to meet with the team, the kids, the children's ministry team, Noah's Ark, yesterday, and do some training with them. But I was thinking, you know, what do I speak on? What should I, what, Lord, what do you have? I was praying about it and praying about it. I went to bed one night late and I woke up in the morning, and this doesn't happen to me often, but I woke up in the morning and, well, I had two words in my mind, and they were in Greek and in Hebrew. So I don't usually dream or hear things in Greek or Hebrew, but it was two words, pneuma and ruach. Pneuma is Greek, and that means Holy Spirit. And ruach, I love that word, ruach, means the breath. God's breath, God's wind, and that's the Holy Spirit. That's in Hebrew, and that's in the Old Testament when we're talking about that Holy Spirit, that God breath, God breathed. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look back at the Old Testament and see the Holy Spirit in action. And by doing that, we'll see kind of what the Holy Spirit has for us today. So go ahead and turn with your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in the back. Right, Sam? I've been watching the videos, so I know. And turn to your neighbor and say, "Hey, good looking." No. We're going to read Acts chapter 1. 1 through 5. Sammy said I have 3 hours, so here we go. Just kidding. Acts chapter 1, 1 through 5. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the days he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave convincing proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Now, when I think about these days and this time when Jesus is alive and here on earth, and I think of kind of the urgency that he's speaking with his friends. He's getting ready to leave the earth, but he's got like this urgency. And these types of times, I feel like there's extra importance on the words he says. I mean, yes, all of Jesus' words are important, but it seems like there's an urgency and more. There's a little bit more importance added to this. So here's what I want you to do. Remember, I've worked with kids, so I expect you guys to participate. I want you guys all close your eyes. Picture a dying man. He's in his hospital bed. You hear the beep, beep, beep of the machines in the back. He's there. He's on his deathbed. It's his last days. And he's surrounded by his family, by his sons and daughters, by his friends. And he calls his oldest son forward, and his oldest son leans forward because he has very little strength to sit up. So he leans towards his dad's mouth, and his dad whispers in his ears, "I'm proud of you. I love you. You can do all things. You are a good man." And then he calls his daughter over and says the same thing and gives them these pearls of wisdom. And you can open your eyes now. That's what I see. That's what I feel Jesus is doing here. He's getting ready to leave the earth. And we have these words that he's saying are so important. So I want to read that last part again, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Before this, Jesus, throughout his ministry, talked about the Holy Spirit, this promise that God had would give to his people, to his followers. He talked about it numerous times. So it got me really thinking as I'm doing some research and doing a little background on it. I'm like, well, okay. When I heard the story, when I read Acts 2 and Pentecost coming, I'm thinking, oh, they're waiting in the upper room, waiting for this Holy Spirit to come, like Jesus asked them to. So they're waiting, and I'm thinking in thinking about it, not really doing a lot of research, but a while ago, when I was younger, thinking about this, I would think, you know, they don't know what to expect. They think that it's going to be like a huge surprise, something that they've never even heard of, never even seen, never knew anything about, this Holy Spirit. But that's not true. They had a knowledge of what to expect. They had the Torah and the prophets to go by. And this Old Testament, the Old Testament of the prophets and the Torah, they were able to, they had an idea of what the Holy Spirit was. It wasn't a huge surprise when it happened to them. So, in the very beginning, everybody turn with me. We're going to be flipping to pages and chapters and everything. So if you can, keep up. If not, it's okay. God loves you anyway. Okay. Turn with me to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 1. We find in Genesis 1:1 through 2, from the very beginning, from the get-go, from the creation. Well, let me read it. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, the Ruach, was hovering over the waters." From the very beginning, the Holy Spirit was there. This breath of God, this Holy Spirit was there. And this is kind of what the apostles, the disciples, had to pull from, this reference, these references. And throughout the whole Old Testament, we have that. They had the capability to pull from their knowledge that this breath, they were expecting this breath of God, this Holy Spirit, this Ruach. In Exodus, we look at Exodus 31, 1 through 3. And as we read this, this is Bezalel. They're getting ready to build a tabernacle, and God is giving Moses the instruction on what to do. And as in Exodus 31, 1 through 3, it says this: "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with that Ruach, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and all kinds of skills to make artistic design, for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. So, God has given Moses a task to complete, for this tabernacle to be completed. And God's Spirit, God's breath, that Ruach, is there, fills Bezalel with this special talent, these special gifts. Spirit of God fills him with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, all kinds of skills. So God had a task. The Spirit falls on this guy in order to accomplish the task that God had given him. Time and time again throughout the Old Testament, we see that God has a task. God's Spirit falls, and the task that he has given his people is accomplished. In Numbers 11, 10 through 17, the Israelites are wandering through the desert, and Moses, and just like, just like kids, they're complaining. And they're complaining about this, they're complaining about the desert, they're complaining about the heat, they're complaining about the water, they're complaining about everything. And in Numbers 11, even Moses is complaining. So here we go. Numbers 11, 10 through 17. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put this burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised an oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot call all these people or carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me." If this is how, verse 15, if this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, do not let my face find ruin. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there. And here it is. I will take some of the power of the Spirit, the Ruach, that is on you, and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. So here Moses is complaining, and God says, bring the people. I'm not even going to choose the people. You bring the people, whoever you choose, just leaders of Israel, and my Spirit will fall. My Ruach, the breath of God, will fill them in order to accomplish this job so that you don't have to worry about it. And once again, time and time again in the Old Testament, the Spirit falls in order to accomplish a task that God has given his people. It happens over and over and over again. So the apostles have these stories, have this in their mind as they were waiting for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, this pneuma, this ruach, this breath of God. As they're waiting, they're thinking back at this. They're thinking back towards the Torah and the prophets. In 1 Samuel 10, 9 through 11. Saul is soon to be king, the first king of Israel. It's a big deal. Samuel's talking about it. Samuel's writing it down. And Saul is getting ready to be made king. And in verse 9 it says, "As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart like that. And all these signs were fulfilled that day. When he and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. the Spirit of God, the Ruach, came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked, "What is this that is happening to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" It changed him. The Ruach, the breath of God, changed him from within. And then later on, throughout in Saul's reign, that Spirit of God was taken from him. But we have, once again, time and time again, a task presented to one of God's people, and he fills that person so that that task can be accomplished. We can look at David's life in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 28. David, his whole life, he has the Spirit of God within him. The Spirit, the power of God comes upon him, and he's able to do amazing things. All of the book of Psalms, all of those Psalms that he's written, I mean, it's just amazing. The song, we're singing some of them today. In verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 28, it says, "Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the portico of the temple, its buildings, its storerooms, its upper parts, its inner rooms, and the place of atonement. He gave him the plans of all that the Spirit, the Ruach, had put on his mind for the courts of the temple of the Lord and all the surrounding rooms for the treasuries of the temple of God." So, once again, David has a task. David feels that he should build this temple, the temple of God. And God says, ho, I don't want you building it. But his Spirit falls on David, and David gets these plans. This task that David has, God helps him to accomplish it by sending his Ruach, the breath of God, to help him fulfill the task, once again, that is at hand. The list goes on and on. You can go throughout the Old Testament and see time and time and time again where the Spirit falls. The Spirit fills someone. The breath of God indwells in them, and they're able to accomplish that task. You look at judges, the judges of Israel, Gideon and Samson, and all the amazing things that they're able to do. Samson has this power that overcomes him when the Spirit falls on him. Something supernatural. I mean, he rips the mouth of a lion apart. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? No, it's not ridiculous. I don't know about Hong Kong, but in the States, it's pretty ridiculous. All of these things happen for a reason. And all of these things are in the minds of the disciples when Jesus says, "My Father is sending you the pneuma," this Spirit, this helper, this guarantor, this advocate is coming. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and the judges, God helps them do supernatural things through those judges. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God gives us the same kind of power to do supernatural things. We look at the prophets, Elijah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, same thing. God gave them, the Spirit falls on them, they write God's word out. The prophets are there to recall, basically bring back Israel who are going astray, and that Ruach, that breath of God, comes upon each and every one of them. And I don't know if you understand that this is God, the actual breath, the creator, the God of heaven and earth, breathing into these people's lives, that they're able to do these supernatural things and accomplish the goals, the tasks that God has placed before them. The Holy Spirit, I want to read this because I want to get it completely right. The Holy Spirit is God's way of assuring that his will is accomplished in the world through his people. I'll even read it again for emphasis. The Holy Spirit is God's way, the pneuma, the ruach, the breath of God. It's his way of assuring that his will be accomplished on the world through his people. So we look at the apostles are thinking about this as they hear that. John 21. We're going to go to John 21 right now. So go right ahead. You have time to look. This is about Peter. I love this story. I love it because it shows Jesus' grace for his people. John 21, 15 through 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus replied, feed my sheep. Again, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I love this story because it's a beautiful picture of God's grace. Because just weeks before, just days before, Peter denies Christ three times. And here we have this kind of redemption, this grace that Jesus has for this guy who as he's being beaten, as he's on trial, as he's before he's crucified, this guy, Peter, is denying that he even knows him. But here we have Jesus saying, hey, we're all good here. Feed my sheep. It's such an amazing picture of Christ's love for us and his grace. And then we see him, Peter, in Acts chapter 2, feeding Jesus' sheep. We see him in Acts chapter 2, as Pentecost comes, the Spirit falls on Peter and his people, and the disciples who are in that upper room. That falls like, let's go to Acts chapter 2. I was going to skip that, so let Pastor Sam, but I'm not going to let Pastor Sam talk about that. I'm going to skip it. Sorry, P. Sam. Chapter 2 of Acts. It's not Pentecost. I mean, Pentecost is 50 days after Easter, and obviously it's not after 50 days, but I want to read it anyway because I love, this is the beginning of the church. This is the first time as they move forward that God is moving. The Holy Spirit truly falls. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit and the Ruach of the Old Testament. There's a difference. But chapter 2 of Acts says this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from the heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the great story, I mean, it's talking about this violent wind, this ruach. If it were Hebrew, that would be the word that was used. It's neat to see the wordplay. They're talking about this violent wind coming in and coming upon them. And they're talking about that pneuma, that Holy Spirit, as it moves towards them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this, a crowd came to gather in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all of these men all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, all the names that I can't read, Egypt, the parts of Libya, near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." So here we have this amazing thing happening. The Spirit falls on this place. Jesus says, hey, I'm going to send you from the Father this helper, this advocate. Go wait in this room. So they go and they wait. They wait and they wait. Because it's like 9 days that they're waiting. They're waiting in that room. And the Spirit falls. The Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. and they start speaking these amazing wonders of God to people in their own native tongue. And it's so amazing to me because as the Spirit falls in Acts, after Peter gets up and starts talking. Peter, the one who denied Christ 3 days before. Peter, the one that Jesus talked about, the verses that we just read about how Jesus wants him to feed his sheep. He gets up and stands boldly before these people and starts recounting about how the wonders of God, and he recounts that Jesus is that Messiah, that promised one from the beginning of time. He is here. It's his Jesus. You need to believe. And in chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, it says, Peter replied to them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." This promise is for you and for me. This promise right here that he says, we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, and for all of us who are far off. This is a gift. This is a promise that God has said, that Christ has said, that would come from the Father to us. What does this mean for us, though, as Christ followers, as believers in God, believers in Jesus? What does this mean? What does it mean for us today? Like we found out from the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the Ruach, falls on people so that we can accomplish the task that God has given us. What is that task? I know that we can do supernatural things. And when I think about the verse that talks about where Jesus says, you will do greater things than I think in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to put hands on this blind person in the name of Jesus. He's going to, yes, it does mean that. That happens. Blind people see, deaf hear, and the lame will walk. That supernatural power happens. But I don't think that's what it's all about. God uses us in amazing ways. That Holy Spirit can do that through us. But I think it's more than that. I think it's an everyday type of empowerment and boldness that we need to take on. And as we go about our life, this as Christ followers, we have this Holy Spirit within us. We have the breath of God within us. And what is it going to help us do? Are we just going to live our lives like the rest of everybody else? Shouldn't we be different? Shouldn't it change who we are? How we interact with people? What's the task as Christ followers that he's given us? Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the ages." That's the task that you and I have. Go and make disciples. We have the breath of life within us to accomplish this task before us. If we truly believe what is in this book, if we truly believe that this is God's word for us, then we should be telling our neighbors about this. We should be telling the guy next to us in the cubicle. And the church, Solomon's Porch, has amazing ways to connect people and do missions and telling others about that. But what about your upstairs neighbor that is always stomping and always loud? We have the breath of God within us. We have the power. God has called us to do this, to make disciples of all men. Wherever we go, we should be talking about this love of God, this Christ that we know. If we're not, are we failing at our job? Our job is to make disciples. You have a circle of influence that only you can impact. That's your neighbors, the taxi guy that you take to work with, the train guy that you're always seeing on the train. God has called us to more than just being nice people. God has called us to more than just being humanitarians as we go on missions trips. We need to be using what God has filled us with, that breath. We have God's breath within us. We need to be connecting. We need to be communicating that love and telling people about that. Making disciples of all men. It's a hard job. Not everybody's going to be an evangelist that stands on the corner. You'll say, well, you know, hey, Pastor Gabe. You can just call me Gabe. You don't have to call me Pastor Gabe. Hey, Gabe. I'm an introvert. You know, I can't. I don't want to. You know, that's stretching me too far. I'm an introvert too. If we were here and I wasn't speaking, I'd be sitting right in the back row. And if this were a party and we'd be celebrating something, I'd be looking at my watch, sitting in the back by myself, eating chips. God has filled us with his breath, filled us with his Holy Spirit. And he's made us so uniquely and intertwined us with our personalities. God can use that because you can impact people in your circle of influence that others cannot. So what I want to do is I want to pray. Can we have our worship people come up? I want you to think about, as they're coming up, I want you to think about, keep in mind, well, let's go back to that. I want you to think about the people that you encounter on a daily basis. If we truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, shouldn't they know about that? If we truly believe that without Jesus, they will go to hell. If we believe that, shouldn't we be telling them? Shouldn't we be showing them? Close your eyes. Think about those people. Actually picture them in your mind. God wants you. He has a task for you. He has a task for all of us. And that it is to make disciples. To help them encounter that love of God. The God who sent his one and only Son. That Son who was nailed to the cross and died and took the sacrifice and the pain and overcame death. If we truly believe that, then we should be telling others. Our God is good.
To you in some
Pray for you. Father God, we are thankful that we have the breath, your breath within us. I pray that for each and every one of the people in this room, that you will embolden them with your spirit. You would have them, you would give them power. You would give them wisdom as they talk and as they encounter people, that you would divinely appoint the people that they meet so that they can have conversation that leads to life change, that leads to people believing in you. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We know that we can do all things through you. Give us the strength. Help us to recall that. Help us to remember as we're in taxis, as we're living our life. I pray that you would divinely appoint those interactions that we have. Lord, you are amazing. And you are the creator. Help us. Give us boldness. Like Peter, who stood up and stood there and told them and recounted your wonders. Lord, we are grateful that you can use us, even us, broken people that we are. We are thankful that you can use us to bring your love to others and make disciples of all men. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing this as we close our service. And during this time, as we're singing, if you feel that God has given you a specific task, that there's something that's kind of been stirring on your heart, and maybe you're been reluctant or afraid or nervous about maybe something that you feel that God's calling you to, I want to invite you to just come up to the front. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit just touches you. Like Pastor Gabe said, he gives a task, he gives a spirit, and then we accomplish his task. Pretty simple equation, isn't it? Right? And so as we sing this song, if you feel like God is really leading you to something, I just want you to come, and we're just going to pray with you. I'm going to invite people to lay hands and just minister, and then you can be dismissed after this. Let's sing this. Go ahead. Come on. Jesus. close our eyes. You guys that are standing in the front here, I just felt like the Lord just gave me a really quick phrase. And I just want the Lord to just spirit just minister to you. He chose you because He knows you. And if He couldn't use you, He wouldn't choose you. And so just let the confidence of God just come over you right now. Lord, we just wipe away all the discouragement from them. God, we wipe away every lie that the enemy has placed on them. They said they can't do it. They're weak. They keep failing too much. They're not strong enough. We're saying no in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for all of us, God, but especially our friends here in the front. I feel like the Lord just wants you to know you are worthy to receive. You are worthy to receive His mandate and His call. You're worthy to receive His Holy Spirit. You're worthy to receive any success that comes out of that, any fruit that comes out of that. It's the blessing of the Lord. Thank you, God. You know, I really feel like God's doing something really cool. Can I invite you, if you know any of these people, if you're a house church leader or anything, or you just want to come and pray, can you guys just come out and let's just lay hands on our friends? And the Holy Spirit is doing a deep work. Let's just come and let's just surround. Let's just ask God to just continue to do that deep work in them. I'll dismiss you guys in a second. But let's just surround our friends here. Let's find somebody and let's just pray for them. And when you come, you be bold too. Just prophesy over them. Let the Holy Spirit just speak through you into their lives. Now we need some more sisters to come up. There's a lot of sisters in the front. Come on, RSP sisters, where are you? Thank you, God. Let's just lift them up. Let me just give a benediction and you can be dismissed. And then we'll just continue to pray over our friends. Father, we just thank you. And we thank you for the word, God. Lord, we've seen the work of the Holy Spirit, God, all the way from Genesis, all the way throughout, Lord. God, and we thank you that you've been faithful, God, that you've always given people a task. Then you've given us the Spirit, God, the power to perform that task, Lord God. And so we wouldn't want anything less from you today, God, than what was needed 2,000 years ago. So come, Holy Spirit, breathe upon us, God. Give every one of us, Lord, God, everything we need to succeed, God, in our pursuit of you. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You can be dismissed quietly. Go out to the back. If you want to pray for your friends up here, let's just really ask God to continue to do that work in their lives. And have a great, great week this week.